Hello, welcome to this week's Boxing News podcast, The Opening Bell. I'm editor Tris Dixon, joined by Matt Christie. Matt, what's going on?
Well, I've just literally got into the office. I've been in lovely Brighton most of the day. Been in the Hove Seafront Gym from about 11:30 this morning for Chris Eubank Jr.'s open workout.
What was that like?
I've got to say, I was really impressed. His level of fitness, which is no surprise, is astoundingly high. He did 8 rounds of sparring and I didn't see him open his mouth to breathe deeply at any point.
Who was he sparring with?
Tariq Quedas.
Okay.
Who's a Swindon-based southpaw light heavyweight. I think he's 6-1. So, I mean, the level of sparring opposition admittedly wasn't great, but at the same time, it wasn't easy sparring, and he was unloading in each round, and there's just no sign of tiredness with him, and that was just a small part of his workout today.
So have you come to the conclusion after seeing that he's got more of a chance than you assumed beforehand?
I think he's got more of a chance than I assumed. I haven't had the benefit of going and see Billy Joe. Billy Joe, we're here, is in peak condition as well. He's looking better than ever, which is kind of the noises you always hear. I think what I got today from the open workout is the levels of belief in Chris Eubank Jr. They're certainly not. They're not just there for the media.
He's no shrinking violet, is he?
No, but he's got absolutely. You feel like there's not one shred of doubt in his body. There's no nerves. There's nothing. He believes he's going to walk out there and steamroll Billy Joe Saunders. There was a certain element of it being the Chris Eubank senior show, which is always the case. He would barely leave his son's side, particularly when there was interviews. He would break away.
Did you get your interview finally?
Yeah, I've got my interview. And yeah, I mean, I'm working on a piece on Ronnie Davies, which is really interesting. But this will add, you know, a few different layers to that, which I'm pleased with.
Okay, good stuff. So, back to the task at hand, which is the podcast and the ins and outs of the boxing world, specifically what goes on inside the ring. And it seems like a long time ago we were in here talking about what was going to happen between Bernard Hopkins and Sergey Kovalev.
Yeah, it really does.
But, yeah, you can tell by the way you turn your nose up at that.
I thought we were talking about that weeks ago.
But yeah. It's happened, it's gone. And Kovalev is the new unified champion. Just Adonis Stevenson is the WBC belt holder, the only other titleist out there at the moment. Were you surprised with what happened?
No, I wasn't, to be honest. I did think that Kovalev would win, and I thought that Hopkins would last the distance. Perhaps I was surprised in the dominance that Kovalev showed and the lack of threat from Hopkins, but I think kind of the long and short of it is that within seconds, Hopkins was put into defensive mode, as Gary Lockett himself said on the Box Nation coverage. And I think part of the reason we didn't see any kind of fun and games and mischief from Bernard Hopkins is he literally was not given any time to think about anything else other than survival.
Okay. Hopkins, fight on, retire.
I just think he should quit. I think the way that he held himself afterwards, everything he had to say, the career he's had. I think the only if he continues to fight, the story is going to get a little bit darker. And even though he lost pretty much every minute of every round, that didn't remind me of, say, Muhammad Ali beating Larry Holmes or Rocky Marciano beating Joe Lewis or Hector Camacho blasting Sugar Ray Leonard out. It wasn't that kind of performance.
Hopkins. Did you say Muhammad Ali beating Larry Holmes?
Sorry, Larry Holmes beating Muhammad Ali, but it wasn't that kind of. It wasn't that kind of performance.
Yeah.
Where okay. You felt that Hopkins was a shell. Certainly not the fighter he was, but he just couldn't do anything in there.
Yeah. Okay. His punch output was well down, as you'd expect. Kovalev looked huge by comparison. There's a quote actually in the report by Jack Hirsch that says, it felt like a super middleweight against a cruiserweight, and that's pretty much what it looked like. Interesting to see where Hopkins goes from here, whether he retires or not. There's plenty of people encouraging him to fight on. Kovalev, if you could pick just one fight for him, who would you put him in with? And why?
Adonis Stevenson. I would certainly pick Kovalev. I think Kovalev would have started as favourite before the Hopkins performance, and that has now confirmed it. But I just think for the sake of boxing, for the sake of history, to have a unified champion with all four belts would do the sport a world of good. For intrigue, you could maybe look below at Andre Ward or even Gennady Golovkin for kind of a super fight. But for the sake of boxing at this stage, for the next step, it would be lovely to see him in with Adonis Stevenson.
And his old rival Beterbiev's on the scene as well.
That, to me, is a super fight waiting to happen. Beterbiev probably only needs another one, two or three fights, and he's right up there. If he's not already, to me, that's a harder fight to call than Kovalev-Stevenson right now.
Yeah, interesting. Lots that went on, including, you know, how often do we talk about those cheeky fivers in the draws?
Yeah.
And if any fight looked like it could have been a draw last week, it was Sturm and Stieglitz. And did we say put a cheeky fiver on it?
I don't think we even mentioned draw, really, and I'm a little bit ashamed.
I can't.
How long have we been doing this? Over a year now.
I'm wounded. Wounded over by the fact that we didn't call a draw.
It's almost an open goal.
It is, yeah. It was. Remember Ronnie Rosenthal against Aston Villa all those years ago?
Craig, what, crashing off the crossbar?
It was, yeah. I mean, geez.
We didn't even skied it.
I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, it looked like a draw. You know, I was sort of torn in the preview, saying, oh, I'm going to go this way, going to go that way. Obviously, easiest thing to do, sit on the fence. Should have done it, didn't do it. It was a draw. Obviously, ringside that night were Gennady Golovkin and Arthur Abraham. What would you like to see now for Sturm and Stieglitz?
It's a good fight, so let's do it again.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's no hurry to, you know, Sturm, Abraham, people were talking about that middleweight in 2007.
Yeah.
We're not in a hurry to see it now, are we?
No.
So, interesting. And then championship boxing, or tournament boxing, should I say, the pitfalls of it once again exposed when a tournament finalist withdrew, and that I'm talking about Travis Dickinson against Bob Adjesafe. Travis withdrew the week of the fight. Fortunately, Matty Clarkson stepped in, gave it a good go early on, but then wilted quite quickly, as you'd expect from someone who took the gig at very short notice. Tournament boxing, good, bad, ugly, better memories than the worst ones, or what?
I think they're always destined to be a struggle, aren't they? Just by the sport's nature. Super 6, I think, was a success, you can say. But ultimately, there was still a different six guys in at the end who were in at the start. For fun and giggles, Prize Fighter, I think, delivers the goods, but it's kind of...
In small doses.
Exactly. It's done and dusted on the night. It's done. I don't think really we should include Prize Fighter when we're doing rankings and things like that. But for what it is, it does what it says on the tin, and it's, you know, it's good fun, Prize Fighter.
Yeah, okay. If you could have a tournament, one division, one weight class now, what tournament and what weight division would you do?
Light heavyweight's a decent shout if you can get Andre Ward involved. Welterweight though, still
packed.
Yeah,
get Floyd and Pacquiao.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd sign up for that straight off.
Be desperate to get him, finally get their hands on one another. Got a fascinating feature in this week with Vladimir Klitschko, who's spoken to Donald McRae ahead of his fight with Kubrat Pulev, which is on Eurosport this weekend. Pulev, one of the few guys out there that you think, well, fair enough in terms of challenging for a title?
He deserves it. Out of everybody in the division, he deserves that title shot. Not to say that he's the most marketable or well-known of challengers that's out there. I do think the heavyweight division has shown real signs of improvement in the last 12 months. But until Fury and Chisora do their business, and Deontay Wilder and Bermain Stiverne, hopefully, fingers crossed, eventually kind of get it on, this is the obvious fight, and full credit to Klitschko for seeking out the best available challenger.
John Denner's written the preview. He's now in Macau for Algeri Pacman. One of the pitfalls of the job, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
I'm sure he won't be back and full of it on a podcast coming soon. Because we don't like to gloat about that stuff, do we?
No.
But below the belt, really. Pulev Klitschko, describe to me how it's going to go from the first bell.
We haven't got that long, have we?
Do you think it's going to be a long, drawn-out fight?
I don't think it's going to be quick. I don't think it's going to be a classic.
Do you see it being a copycat of the Povetkin fight? Really?
I think it'll be. I think it's going to be similar to that.
Messi, mauling.
Yeah, yeah. I think Pulev will perhaps get more rounds in the bank than Povetkin managed. I just can't see the upset here at all. I just can't see it. I mean, there's even against some of Klitschko's lesser known opponents, you kind of think they've got a bit of a puncher's chance, or they've got some speed, or whatever. But with Pulev, I just think he does a lot of the things that Klitschko does, but he does them at a far, far inferior level. And I just think, despite everything I said about him being the most deserving challenger, that doesn't mean that I think he's gonna spring the upset.
No, I think if you're looking for an exciting fight, you would still rather see Vlad against, I'd venture to say, Fury or Wilder. But in terms of earning your shot and so on with top pedigree, you'd have to go with Pulev.
Yeah.
When you say do more rounds than Povetkin obviously lost on points. Do you mean win more rounds? Okay, just had to double check that, make sure I wasn't saying anything. I mean, obviously, when we talk about entertaining fights with a heavyweight division, we can't look much further beyond Vladimir against Shannon Briggs, which we're just hoping happens in 2015, aren't we?
Yeah. We absolutely can't wait for that.
I mean, that's pay per view. I know there's been a lot of people talking about what is and what isn't, but Klitschko Briggs pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah, and the rest.
Well, no, you only need one of those thin German cards once you got that.
And you could put max top price on that. I mean, joking aside, the amount of effort that Briggs is putting into getting this showdown, you just wonder if he'd have put that much effort into his career in the past in terms of the dedication he's shown by following Vladimir around. The latest thing he's doing now is he's following him around Germany. He's trying to gate crash, press conferences and things like that. And I just don't think that Shannon Briggs is going to get anywhere near Vladimir Klitschko in a boxing ring. The only way he could do it is if he was to do it and he was to go in and he was to take on one of the top contenders, even if he was to fight someone in the top 15. But let's face it, I mean, I like Shannon Briggs as a human being. I think people that know Boxing News know that. I do like Shannon Briggs. But ultimately, you think back to when was the last time he fought a rated guy before Vitaly? Probably Sultan Abragimov. Who dominated him, who was a lot smaller. And that was, nearly, I would say, 8 years ago off the top of my head. He's not going to be any better than that now. Those mental frailties that he had then will still be there now. And he's just not, he's nowhere near the top 30 in the world for me.
Tell me, if Vlad was fighting four or five times a year and Briggs was one of those four or five, could you excuse it then?
No.
As some sort of keep busy effort?
Not if Briggs is going in on with the level of competition that he's blasting out at the moment.
Okay.
I just think, as entertaining as Shannon Briggs is, and as amusing,
and not everyone finds him entertaining.
No, and as amusing as this whole thing can be, it's also now got to a point. For me personally, it's a little bit stomach churning. It's a little bit sickly, and it's almost the way he's doing it is he's almost admitting that he won't be able to beat any of the other. He won't be able to put himself in a position legitimately. This is the only way he can do it.
Yeah. Okay. Talk about underdogs. John Dennen spoken to Chris Algieri this week in the magazine. Very interesting insight to the mind of the New Yorker ahead of his fight with Manny Pacquiao, which actually I've been previewing in the office today. And do you know what? I'm actually really looking forward to next weekend. I know a lot of people are quite cynical about it, but with Beliu Klevli, I've spoken to both those guys this week ahead of the fight. You know, people like grudge matches, and they're spitting feathers down the phone at me about one another, and it makes you interested to see what happens, for sure, particularly when you see what the first fight was. And let's not forget that first fight was good. This isn't by the way, a sales pitch. I still don't think it's a pay-per-view card. I understand, you know, obviously with the amount that Sky pay per card, if it's something like £150,000, you can't afford to feed all those mouths. That's only a ballpark guesstimate there. You know, all the guys that are going to be on the card, but it's, you know, do I want to see the fight? Yeah, I want to see the fight. And it's weird about the Pacquiao Ujiri thing, and I've kind of gone on about this in the preview, so I won't say too much about it here, but any fight that Mayweather and Pacquiao have that isn't against each other, anticlimax, or have you got a really high level of interest in it?
I've got a fairly high level of interest in it. I think it's a good, like you say, the whole weekend is a good weekend. Pacquiao, Algeri could be more competitive than many are thinking. Freddie Roach is doing his usual. Yeah, Pacquiao's going to come out and knock him out in the first round. Kind of nonsense that I think we've had for a long time.
Yeah, well, do you know, it's 5 years now today that Pacquiao last knocked someone out. That was Miguel Cotto, and I was there in Vegas.
Yeah, and that was, I think that was the last time that Manny Pacquiao looked almost invincible.
Well, I think he fought Margarito after that, didn't he? But even then, he sort of let Margarito off the hook at the end.
And then there was Clotty, wasn't there? And each one was just slightly step down.
Possibly,
and I think now,
5 years on.
And then, so now 5 years on, it goes against logic, human nature, that Manny Pacquiao can reproduce the kind of performance that blasted out a near peak Miguel Cotto in 12 brutal rounds.
Hmm. Interesting. And it's funny now because you talk about Miguel Cotto going into next year, arguably going to be in the biggest fight of 2015.
Yeah.
Against Canelo on what looks like May the 9th.
Yeah.
Huge fight, huge Massive. Weekend. I mean, Pacquiao can only top that by fighting Mayweather, can't he? I think next year. I mean, who else is there that he could fight that would get as much, that would endanger those sort of pay-per-view ratings?
I think even if he was to go in with Marquez again for a fifth time, it wouldn't get close.
No, I think you're right, particularly on that Cinco de Mayo weekend.
Yeah.
So that's that, is it? You've got nothing else to say about that.
Are we just talking about Pacquiao and Algeri, or are we talking about Belgium?
Just talking about Pacquiao, say next year, for instance. You know, who could he fight, Mayweather aside, that would make him a bigger fight than Cotto Alvarez?
There isn't anybody.
What about unless any of the middleweights?
Unless he was to do something ridiculous like that and jump up to middleweight. But no, I don't think, off the top of my head, there's anybody that would rival that.
Because he could fight Jermaine Taylor.
Oh. that wouldn't come close.
No.
I don't think that would come close.
Interesting. It's going to be interesting to see which way Jermaine Taylor goes, actually, obviously, because he's an Al Haymon man now, so it'll be interesting to see what way they go. Obviously, it's a fight they've talked about, or has been speculated about, for Mayweather.
Jermaine Taylor. Yeah, again, I'm not sure he'd get a great deal of credit for that. I suppose if you were to look back at his career in history, and you could say it was a fantastic achievement going from super featherweight all the way up to middleweight. But Jermaine Taylor...
It's no Golovkin, is it?
Absolutely not, no. Absolutely not.
Interesting. I mean, the thing is with Mayweather, I've just been looking back over his career the last couple of days and looking at... He's fought two guys that were in the Hall of Fame now, Arturo Gatti and Oscar De La Hoya. When you look at the other Hall of Famers he's fought in, what, 47 fights? Maybe three others, I think, that you can say will definitely get in. There's Marquez, Mosley, and for me, Ricky Hatton will get in, not just for what he did in the ring, but for what he did for the sport, particularly in the UK and Las Vegas. So I think you've got maybe those three extras. And aside from that, Canelo has obviously got a long way to go, could possibly get in, but obviously you'd be looking at someone who's got another 10 years of boxing and another 5 years before he'd be inducted. So probably long after you and I have come and gone.
Yeah. I think that is an interesting. You mentioned Canelo there. I think that's, and I've thought this before, is that if Canelo goes on to dominate and he's an absolute force for, I don't know, say he beats Cotto, and then he goes on to be a dominant middleweight for 5-10 years, that will raise Mayweather's legacy somewhat.
Can't see it though, can you?
No, I can't, to be honest. I can't.
Interesting. So Klitschko's obviously a massive favourite ahead of the Pulev fight this weekend. How would you price it up for us?
Pulev 5-1 underdog.
And what's your preferred method of stoppage? Or method of stoppage, method of victory.
My preferred would be a sensational one-punch knockout in round three, but more likely it would be a corner stoppage or the referee showing mercy.
So is it worth a cheeky five on that round three stoppage now you've said it? Do you think Vlad will be, or do you think he'll be too cautious again?
I don't think we'll ever see Vlad going in there and all guns blazing again. He's too intelligent. It's gone wrong for him in the past. He has been, whether you like his style or not, and the vast majority don't, what he does very well, and he is, like it or not, one of the most accomplished heavyweights of all time.
Okay. I will just say, Pulev is a 5-1 underdog.
Is he?
With 2-11 on. Those are general price of odds checker. And there's a big show in Dublin this weekend. Matthew Macklin's back against Jorge Sebastian Hyland. And then there's appearances for Anthony Crawler, Cao Yafai, and many others. But there's some really good battles on that bill. I really like the idea of all the fights between Ian Timms and Michael Sweeney and Spike O'Sullivan and Anthony Fitzgerald. I think they're cracking Irish fights. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I really, really like it. I thought one of them hasn't been called off, has it? Or am I imagining that?
Hope you're imagining it.
I thought I'd seen that the Tim Sweeney fight was off, but I might be imagining it. But no, I know it is. It's a good card.
It can't be a bit of last minute speculation, can you?
No, I feel like I'd seen it a while ago, but maybe I haven't. I like the. It's a good card. I like that it's in Dublin. Matthew Macklin, it'll get past this fight at the weekend, but I'm not convinced that Macklin is the fighter he was anymore. As much as I like Matthew and everything else, admire the way he goes about his business in the ring, like the way he fights, and that desire he's got. But I suspect his best days have gone. And I hope I'm wrong.
What about Macklin, Jermaine Taylor?
God. Everything with Jermaine Taylor makes me cringe a little bit, in all honesty. It's a winnable fight for Macklin. You'd favour Macklin there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I think you'd have to, based on what happened with the Solomon fight and Taylor. I think Macklin, I'd fancy him against both of those, Taylor and Solomon. But it's tough. It's hard to know with Macklin what he's got left. He's had some grueling fights. Obviously, he had a convincing and devastating loss to Golovkin. What's he got left? We'll have some idea, I think, after Saturday night. It's interesting he's back with Joe Gallagher for this fight. It'll be interesting to see if he sticks with Gallagher after this, moving forwards too. One of the better fighters not to win a world title out of this country, I think. But at the same time, had a very good, strong career. He's beaten guys like Asakainen and obviously Wayne Alcott when he was on a run with Gallagher beforehand. I think the fight that people would like to see next year is if Andy Lee falls short against Korobov, is finally to get Macklin and Lee together.
Yeah, or if he doesn't. If he doesn't fall short.
Sure.
I think Matthew, I think there's something on our website where he said, either way, whether Andy Lee wins or loses, that's a fight he wants over in Ireland, and it does make sense in every way. Good fight. I like Andy Lee as well.
Maybe the winner of that fight is Martin Murray later in the year.
Yeah, after he's smashed up Golovkin.
Yeah, unification.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, on that happy note, with Korobov and Golovkin both vanquished in one fell swoop, we will leave you to it, guys. Thank you very much for joining us this week, and we'll be back next week.